The readings for this Sunday, the third Sunday after Epiphany, the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits, to know man rendering evil for evil, providing good things, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as is in you, having peace with all men, not revenging yourselves, my dearly beloved, but give place unto wrath. For it is written, Revenge is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But if thy enemy be hungry, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him to drink. For doing this, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. Please stand for today's gospel, which is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and adored him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, stretching forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And forthwith his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith to him, See thou tell no man, but go, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift which Moses commanded for testimony unto them. And when he had entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, and is grievously tormented. And Jesus saith to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion making answer said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doth it. And Jesus, hearing this, marveled, and said to them that followed him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great faith in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go, and as that thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And the servant was healed at that same hour. Thus are the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, looking up at the stars, you realize just how vast the universe is. Yet this whole universe, it can't contain Almighty God. It's as a drop in the ocean, in the ocean compared to what God is. And when we come to Holy Communion, when we come to the communion rail, we receive this great God whom the whole universe can't contain. And so it's certainly no exaggeration to say that that is the most important moment of our life, when we are able to come to the communion rail to receive our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has life in him. We go to the source of supernatural life and we receive him. He abideth in us and we abide in him. So there can be no greater moment. And that is why the words that prepare us for that moment are very important, are very special. And the church has chosen very carefully which words she uses to prepare us for that moment. And she has chosen the words of the centurion today. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but say the word and my soul shall be healed. And we say this three times to prepare our souls. And the church uses these words because they're so full of faith in the first place. And they're also full of humility and reverence. That's why she wants us to say these words. So today I would like to consider those things, faith and reverence. The Blessed Sacrament, it is the mystery of faith. That's what we say in the words of consecration. And that's the single most important disposition we have to have when we go to the altar rail, faith. And the centurion teaches us what that means. What did the centurion see? He saw our Lord. He saw a man. But he penetrated past what he saw, and he believed that this man is God. And this man, he doesn't need to come to my house to work a miracle. He can say the word, and my servant will be healed. He believed this man is God and has almighty power. He penetrated past what he saw. And that's exactly what faith entails. Faith is of things unseen. Our senses don't pick up on it. Our human knowledge can't understand it. But we know it's true. We penetrate past that, and we believe with absolute certitude because God told us it's true. That's what faith means. And that's the kind of faith we need when we go to the communion rail. Our senses, when we look at the Blessed Sacrament, what do they pick up on? We see a little piece of bread. It looks like bread. It has the shape of bread, the texture, the taste. Everything tells us that's bread. If you were to take the host and put it under a microscope and look very closely at it, what would you see? Bread. What looks like bread. Our senses tell us that's bread, but faith tells us something different. Faith penetrates past that veil and says, this is not bread. This is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, really, truly, substantially present. I know this because our Lord told me, I am the bread of life. Take ye and eat. This is my body. I know that this is not just bread. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Thomas, he expresses this faith we must have penetrating past what we see, what our senses tell us. He expresses it in his beautiful hymn, Adorote de Devote. It's a hymn we often sing at Mass. He says, taste and touch and vision to discern thee fail. But the hearing only well may here prevail. I believe whatever the Son of God hath told, what the truth has spoken, that for truth I hold. My senses, taste, touch, sight, it all fails me here. But hearing, what faith comes through hearing. Hearing tells me this is the bread of life. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. My dear faithful, the act of faith we make when we come to communion, though, it's much greater than that which the centurion had to make. He made an act of faith which penetrated past our Lord's sacred humanity. He saw a man and believed that this man is God. When we come to the communion rail, though, we don't even see the sacred humanity. We see what looks like a piece of bread. And so there's a second veil we have to penetrate, past the sacred species, past the sacred humanity, to our Lord's divinity. And St. Thomas, in the same hymn, he expresses that as well. He says, on the cross lay hidden but thy deity. Here is hidden also thy humanity. But it's not just another veil, it's a thicker veil. The centurion saw the sacred humanity, and there is so much in our Lord's humanity which would have helped those who saw him to make that act of faith in his divinity. Because our Lord, he irradiated grace, that nobility. And so it would have been very easy for them to make that act of faith. This is God. But in the host, we see so little. We perceive so little. But our act of faith has a great reward because our Lord said, blessed are you that have not seen, but have believed. This is the act of faith we must make, and it's not easy. And often, men have failed in making this act of faith. They've wavered. But our Lord, in his mercy and his condescension towards our weakness, as it spoke about in today's collect, he's worked miracles at times to help us to believe. Those great Eucharistic miracles we've heard so much about and so that have happened so often through history. In these miracles, our Lord appears. Not only does the substance change to our Lord's body, blood, soul, and divinity, but the appearances also change so that we can more easily make that act of faith. One such miracle happened in Orvieto, Italy. There was a German priest who was very pious, but who struggled. He had doubts about the real presence. He was traveling to Rome on a pilgrimage, and he stopped at the Church of St. Christina, and he was saying Mass there on the altar under which St. Christina's relics were contained. He was saying Mass, and he had these doubts plaguing him, and he started to say the words of consecration, and as soon as he finished the words, for this is my body, that change happening, transubstantiation occurring at that moment, suddenly the host began shedding blood profusely, pouring blood out all over his hands. Of course, he was startled and didn't know what to do. So he tried to hide it at first, to conceal what was happening, the blood shedding from this host onto his hands and onto the corporal, even onto the floor. He didn't know what to do, and he had to stop mass. And he asked someone to take him to go to Orvieto, because he was in a nearby village. He asked to go to Orvieto. Pope Urban IV was residing there at the time, and he went directly to the Pope, and he told him what happened, and he confessed his sin, his doubt. And after the Pope absolved him from his sin, he ordered the bishop of the town to go retrieve these relics, the sacred host, and the corporal, which had blood now all staining it. And they formed a procession and brought it to Orvieto, to the cathedral, and that corporal can be seen to this day, stained by blood. And if you go to the Church of St. Christina, you can see the blood on the floor, staining the floor, the precious blood of our Lord. An interesting fact as well, Urban IV, because of this miracle and also because of other reasons, he decided to institute the Feast of Corpus Christi, which he did a year after this miracle occurred. These miracles help us make that act of faith. Our Lord is really there present in the Blessed Sacrament. But that faith is just the foundation. It has to go further, and it should make us have great reverence and humility when we approach the communion rail. And the centurion is a wonderful example of that. He realized, this is God, and so I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy that God should come under my roof. He had a tremendous reverence for our Lord. Yes, as St. Thomas says in that hymn, prostrate I adore thee, deity unseen, who thy glory hidest beneath these shadows mean. Our faith should result in great reverence. And the reason that I bring this up, my dear faithful, is we've been now battling the Novus Ordo Mass for 50 years. We've been trying to stay true to the traditional Mass for over 50 years now. And in the Novus Ordo Mass, we see a tremendous lack of faith in the real presence. And because of that, a tremendous irreverence towards our Lord in the real presence. And Archbishop Lefebvre, he says that is an embodiment. It is a expression of the whole modernist mentality, their contempt for the real presence. He says the contempt for the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist is the most flagrant sign by which the new mentality, no longer Catholic, expresses itself. It sums up their whole mentality, their contempt for our Lord in the real presence. In the Novus Ordo Mass, we see, of course, abuses. Those masses where the priest says Mass with Coke and a pizza, or milk and cookies, these horrible abominations. Of course, there's irreverence and contempt there. But even when the Novus Ordo Mass is said at its best, it's filled with irreverence. It fosters irreverence because it encourages the faithful to come to the communion rail and receive in their hands and standing up. It doesn't command the priest to keep his fingers together to protect those particles, knowing that, as the Church teaches, in every particle our Lord is really contained. The Novus Ordo Mass doesn't prescribe that. It takes out so many genuflections to honor our Lord's real presence. And the Archbishop, reflecting on these things, he says he can think of only two reasons why these changes could have come into place. And he says they can come from either an immense pride, which makes us treat God like he's our equal, or they come from a certitude that he's not really present there. And either way you cut it, both are a tremendous offense against God. These changes to the rite of Mass, which bring about so much irreverence, have led to a loss of faith in the real presence, so much so that a recent survey says that 7 out of 10 Catholics don't believe that our Lord is really present, that it's just a symbol. That's horrible. There's the personal example to illustrate this irreverence, which is so easy to be perpetrated in the new Mass. A relative went to a funeral, a relative had a roommate who was a Protestant and went to a Novus Ordo funeral. At the funeral, this Protestant, he received a card, a holy card with the person's name on the back. In the same spirit that he took that holy card, he went to the communion rail and received communion in the hand. And he broke a piece off and took part of it, crumpled the rest inside the holy card and shoved it in his pocket. And he goes back to the apartment and throws it on the coffee table. So the relative coming back finds the host laying on a coffee table in the living room. The Novus Ordo Mass opens a door to this kind of irreverence. Is our Lord truly there or not? My dear faithful, point these things out, of course, to help us to continue the fight for the traditional Mass, to continue honoring our Lord in the real presence. We must never, in reflecting on these things, be filled with pride. We are not like the rest of men. We know our Lord's there. No, we can't fall into that. We should use these things to motivate us to receive more fervently. It's a good thing to reflect every once in a while. How do I receive communion? Because, of course, we are here in this church because we know our Lord is really present and we want to receive Him. That's why we're here. So we know these things in the Novus Ordo Mass are horrible abominations. We know that. But it's good for us to reflect, well, how do I receive our Lord? Am I filled with faith when I come to the communion rail? Faith that this is not just bread. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. A faith that is alive. A faith that makes us filled with respect and humility as we receive our Lord who becomes so small for us. If we but knew the gift of God, how much our Lord gives to us. He gives us Himself. He wants to be hidden there in the tabernacle constantly, day in and day out. Even when there's no one here in the church, He's here, waiting for the moment when we can come to Him, waiting for the moment that He can give Himself to us in Holy Communion. You must have great faith, my dear faithful, great faith in this sacrament, a faith that then expresses itself in this reverence for Him. And it's these lessons that the centurion teaches us today. So let us take to heart those words. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but say the word and my soul shall be healed. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.